Well, today I want to tie a bow on the series called Kinda Different. And the title of today's message is This Is Us, with a due recognition to the movie The Greatest Showman and that song. But I'm taking it and applying it, because in just a moment I'm going to get to, I think, one of the best one-sentence, one-verse descriptions of who we are as God's people. And the overall gist of this series, Kinda Different, is that as believers, you are. We are different. You have different values, different passions, different use of your time, different use of your resources. You're going to be different as a parent, different as a spouse, different in the way you go to work and approach your work, different in the way you respond to people and respond to hurts and offenses. God's calling us to be different, to be salt and light, to be priests called out of darkness into light, making a difference. There's a young writer by the name of Brett McCracken, and I think he's really good. I appreciate what he has to say. What he has to say is, it's so apropos for my generation, it's so apropos for his generation as well. And here are his words. He says, how are Christians set apart or distinct from the unbelieving world? He said, when push comes to shove, would any observer be able to pick today's edgy, authentic, real, raw, I'm not your grandmother's kind of Christian out of the proverbial crowd? In what ways are we embodying the call to be salt and light? We realize you can party like everybody else. We realize you like to use edgy language. Are you really that much different? What do you actually believe? He says, should there be a noticeable difference between Christians and the world? And the answer is yes. What kind of difference? There's a theologian at Yale, Miroslav Volf, and he uses the term soft difference. And I really appreciate it, because you know the distinction between somebody who makes a hard difference and a soft difference. Now, when I say soft, I do not mean weak. I do not mean tepid. But a believer who wants to make a hard difference, they're motivated by anger, manipulation, a separatist mindset, us versus them, threats. A soft difference takes the form of witness, example, influence, an invitation, conversations. A believer with making a soft difference, again, not weak, but a soft difference, that person has strong convictions and positive affirmations. This is who I am. This is what I believe. Think Daniel. Think Jesus. But above all, we keep our conduct honorable. You are different, and you do make a difference. And here's the best one-sentence description of believers I know. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, the new Israel. That's the church. We who, here it is, three descriptions. We who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. There you go. There's the outline. Who are we? We serve God by His Spirit. And as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit at your baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is simply and mysteriously the invisible presence of God within us and among us. Now listen, my friends, welcoming the ministry of the Holy Spirit should never be equated with minimizing or attempting to jettison the authority of the Scriptures. The Scriptures have authority because they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. But listen, The Holy Spirit didn't just inspire Scripture and then retreat. He is at work within us and among us. Now, He will never counter and go against Scripture, but, you know, for example, our mission work the world over. We get to partner with God in that mission work. But do you think that we in our own ingenuity are opening all those doors? No. The Holy Spirit is at work encouraging, convicting, opening some doors, closing other doors. You know what we are, my friends? We are windsurfers. We're not paddlers doing it all ourselves. We're not turning on an engine. We're not sitting in the back letting somebody else do it all. We're windsurfers. We're on our board. We're hoisting our sail. And what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the breath. We're waiting for the wind. And we partner with the Holy Spirit. I don't do it all. He doesn't do it all. He's asking for a partnership. And listen, that wind of the Spirit, it's going in a particular direction. It may not be going your direction. It's going God's direction. And that's why the Bible says, are you in step with the Spirit? Because God has ethics. God has certain values. God has a certain direction for us to go. The Holy Spirit is a wind blowing in a particular direction. You know, there's another word the Bible uses in describing the work of the Spirit. It's the word filling. Filling. And you all know what it's like to be full. When you are full, it means there's no room for anything else. I have a friend by the name of John. John attends here. John is an incredible cook, an incredible chef. Doesn't use any kind of recipe, just can put it together. And many times I've eaten in John's home, and he likes to serve meals in courses, and it's typically a five-course meal. And I remember the first couple of times he would serve, and it's like by the time, and each course is a meal in and of itself. And by the time I'd get to the fourth course, as John, I am full. There is no more womb for anything else. And that picture of being filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit, it's an invitation for there not to be any room for your agenda, just room for God's agenda. No room for your silliness and your stupidity and your sin, just full of God's wisdom and direction and blessing. It's an invitation to kiss Christian mediocrity goodbye and to be saturated, full of what God wants to do in your life and mine. Now, there's another little word the New Testament uses to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the word fruit. Fruit. You know, if I were to walk in your backyard and you say, well, Ronnie, look at this. This is a lemon tree. And if I were to say, well, how do you know it's a lemon tree? You'd go, well, duh, it produces lemons. Oh, okay. You walk on, you'd say, well, Ronnie, here's an orange tree. Well, now, how do you know it's an orange tree? Ronnie, it produces oranges, okay? You, as a believer, have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit in you. Well, Ronnie, you say that sounds kind of mystical. What kind of fruit? Glad you asked. Listen carefully. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So you listen to all that and you're going, Ronnie, I'm not sure that really describes me. It describes the seed that's been planted in you. And what you'll do now, you'll grow into it. You ever seen a 10-year-old boy who wears size 14 shoes? And you see that little kid and it's like, my goodness. What size shoe do you wear? 14, 14 and a half? And what do people say? Well, he'll grow into those feet. Well, I hope so. You'd be working in a circus or grow into the feet. Well, no, the chromosomes are there. And so you take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I'm not sure. The seed is planted. And what we do now is over the years, we grow into this. Now, imagine being in that same backyard again, and you walk along, and your friend says, look at this tree. This tree bears apples, oranges, peaches, pears, bananas, all from the same tree. And you would say, you must be the most amazing gardener ever. And that's our God. That's the Holy Spirit producing fruit in you. Are you welcoming the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, you serve a good, good Father who loves to give good gifts. Ask for more of the Spirit. Be open, welcoming the Holy Spirit. And the mindset is, I want to be full of His way, not my way. Who are we? We're people who serve in the Spirit. Secondly, we boast in Christ Jesus. Now, when you hear about somebody boasting, it's sort of a turnoff. We don't like to hear people boast and brag. The Apostle Paul will use this word 35 times. It's only used twice elsewhere. He loves the word. It's good to boast in Christ Jesus. And its most basic meaning is what? We freely, vocally, joyfully celebrate what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and the empty tomb for us. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, but we have been made alive only because of Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. We boast in Christ Jesus. Some of you are out there, you're saying, I'm just not sure I could ever measure up. Christ measures up. He measures up for you. Now, let me suggest some other ways we can boast in Christ Jesus. Some you may have thought about, maybe not. How about this? Silence. Sometimes I believe you can boast in Christ Jesus by just actually being silent and quiet. Think of a time when you came that close to loudly and almost arrogantly inserting your opinion in a situation, and then you stepped back and thought better of it. And you said, I'm just going to leave this in God's hands. You weren't being evasive. You weren't being cowardly. But in wisdom, you were quiet. Or you have another person, a friend. You know, the Bible says you rejoice with those who rejoice. And maybe something really wonderful happened, and rather than one-upping, you just let them enjoy that moment. How about this one? How about peace? That we can glory and boast in Christ Jesus through our peace. And here's what I mean. We have an endless array of things over which we could be anxious, right? An endless list. An endless anxiety list. Tomorrow is on the horizon. And being anxious doesn't mean that you have no faith. It simply means you're human. But if we're not careful, we lean into a bunch of what ifs. But we also have to always be asking what is true. And embracing and finding a measure of peace begins with running to Jesus Christ and boasting in Him that He is fully capable to receive our anxiety. I mean, you do what you can do, but then you give it to God and you let Him do what only He can do. And the Bible says when we do that, we know we've done the most important action step with that anxiety. We have given it to our living God for His care and His safekeeping. How about this one? Honesty. We can boast in Christ Jesus just through our honesty. When it's time to make an apology, you can make it. When it's time to make confession, you don't have to try to sidestep it. You can apologize, you can confess, knowing that in Christ Jesus, His grace is there for you to not only forgive, but to redeem, to help, and to rebuild. Who are we? We serve in the Spirit. We boast in Christ Jesus. Hey, you remember the story of Mother Teresa, where she was being given an award here in the States, and someone was sort of chiding her about this, saying, you know, here you're this humanitarian, you're characterized as a very humble woman, but yet you receive all of these accolades and awards. And she chuckled and she said, do you remember on Palm Sunday how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? And as he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, people are praising and singing and placing palm branches in front of him. She said, do you think for one moment that donkey thought all of that adoration and worship was for him? I'm just the donkey on which the ministry of Jesus can be carried along. That's it. We boast in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is wonderful. As John Newton said one time, he said he was an older preacher, and he was losing his eyesight, and he's trying to find his way in a manuscript, and a servant boy's helping him turn pages. And Newton came to a particular phrase where he said, Jesus Christ is wonderful. And then he just stopped and said it again, Jesus Christ is wonderful. And then he said it again, Jesus Christ is wonderful. And the servant boy said, Mr. Newton, you said that already. And he said, I've said it before and I'll say it to the day I die. Jesus Christ really is wonderful. We glory, we boast in him. And then last of all, we put no confidence in the flesh. An interesting statement to me. He's not saying you don't have any talents and abilities. No, you've got talents, you've got aptitudes, you have abilities, but when it comes to accomplishing God's work, when it comes to accomplishing spiritual assignments, as Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Paul says, I just put no confidence in the flesh. And listen, the Apostle Paul was one of the most equipped, educated, capable people you would ever come across. Let me put some phrases up here on the screen as I ask you, are you putting too much confidence in your own flesh? Do you ever find yourself saying, it would never happen to me? Oh, I read about that scandal. I'm so sorry for that family. So sorry. But you know what? That would never, ever happen to me. My mom used to quote the Bible to me a lot, and one of her favorite scriptures was, pride comes before fall. And let me tell you, if you are sitting today in a seat where once before you were saying, I don't think that could ever happen to me, but right now you're saying it's happened to me, it's happening to me, you need to know there's help. There's ministry, there's mercy, there's grace for you right there, okay? You ever find yourself saying, I'm too important for that job. I'm too important for that assignment. I'm just too important, you know, to carry out that role. And listen, I get it. Not every assignment, not every ministry opportunity, not every opportunity at work is fun. It's not something you like. But there's a difference between not liking something and considering yourself above doing something. Remember, we serve a Savior who put a towel around his waist and washed feet. How about this one? You ever find yourself saying, I can handle this all on my own? I believe that is confidence that is sorely misplaced. I'm not saying you don't have capability. I'm not saying you don't have strength. I'm not saying you can't accomplish things. But we need each other. We need one another precisely because our own flesh is not strong enough. We need one another to tell us the truth. We need one another to pray for us. God's plan is mutual discipleship, nurturing one another along on this road to Christian maturity. I can handle this all on my own. No, I cannot. Let me remind you of this wonderful Old Testament story and narrative. You can find it in Exodus chapter 17. There are four characters in this story, four characters. You've got Moses and Joshua and Aaron and Hur. All right? Joshua is actually leading a battle. They are in battle against the Amalekites. Moses is perched, watching, overlooking, overseeing what Joshua is doing down on the field. And Moses is praying. And as long as his arms are outstretched, as long as his hands are raised to the Lord, you know what happens? The Israelites always have the upper hand. But his arms get tired, and he lowers his arms. It's a picture of dependence upon God. He lowers his arms, and then what happens? Oh, the tide turns. Wouldn't it be great if with the Astros, you know? Aaron gets on one side, Hur gets on another, and they hold up the arms of Moses until the victory is won. Who won that victory? Joshua would say, well, I couldn't have done it on my own. Moses would say, well, I couldn't have done it on my own. My arms got tired. Aaron and Hur would be saying, well, my goodness, all we did was hold up an arm. Who did it? God was at work through their teamwork. Sometimes you'll find yourself, you know, there will come a day you will find yourself in a situation that you find inexplicable and you just have no good explanation for it. And everyone in this room will face a day where it might even be a little embarrassing to ask for help in a particular area. That's all of us. Oh my, that is all of us. There's not a strong one in this room. The only strong one is the one in whom we glory, the Lord. We can't do it all ourselves. We need one another. We need one another's prayers. We need dependence upon our great God. And He loves you. He cares for you. He's at work. He is powerful. Who are we? We're people. We don't just serve. We serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. The energy, the force of the Holy Spirit going in God's direction, and we want to be full of His agenda, not ours. Who are we? We're people who glory and boast in the wonder of Jesus Christ. And who are we? We place no confidence in the flesh. We know we need one another, and we need the Lord.